Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long retreat. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Fun to be here.
Great to be here. Very excited to be here.
Yeah.
And yesterday's assignment was one should record and listen.
That's pretty wide open, huh?
It's pretty wide open. Yes, it is. Okay, let's go to our first caller, Jen.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Brian. I'm from Detroit.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, yeah, the whole idea behind should is always tied to expectations for me of something. Kind of like there's something that needs to be. And it was always that, it's always that sort of age-old thing from when I was a child. You know, there were all those things that I should and shouldn't do. That duality. So, that's a huge one. I always try to pay attention to when I'm talking or thinking, and when that word comes up, there's sort of a red light on it.
Yes.
Because I'm no longer in reality.
Right. And as you say, that all of those messages got planted long before we had any awareness of the process that was happening. And
exactly.
So they go in there as assumptions. And so that's such a great thing that as awareness practitioners, then should becomes that red light bulb, because what it is it's shining a light on an assumption, something that I realize, oh my gosh, I don't question that. That's just in there on some deep level. But then once that red light goes off, we can actually start to look at it.
Yeah, because it says basically that I have control. If I should do something, it says that I'm therefore I should be able to do it. And that
uh-huh.
I've got some sort of control over what happens next. And my experience is I have no control.
Truly.
I have control over my response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
And that's such a critical difference, isn't it? Because so there are all those things that we should do. It should be this way. I should be this way, however it is. And in that, what you're realizing embedded is this idea that I should have control over it. And that I would guess kind of with that, if I do this, then this will happen, right? And of course, it doesn't, or a lot of the time it doesn't. And then there's sort of this, wait a minute, what's going on here? But realizing, wait, that's not true. I actually don't have control over any of it. The only influence I have is over my internal experience and my kind of reactions to it, how in my relationship to it, we could say.
Exactly. Now, and should is one of those things ego loves because it makes me feel guilty if I should have done something.
Yeah.
And ego
yep.
is in control immediately.
Exactly. Because, of course, what it's going to do is you should do this, and then it's going to run over on the other side and say, you don't feel like it. Don't worry about it. Don't do that.
Yeah, you're back fighting. Then I'm fighting myself. No, and ego's got me going both ways, and that's...
Exactly.
And that's like a really good way to spend an afternoon, you know?
exactly.
Yeah.
From a conditioned point of view, if you want to control a human, get them in a duality and preferably using the word should on both sides.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Brian. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brian. Jen, what I was getting out of that conversation was what you said early on is that when we're so little, those assumptions
mm-hmm.
and those shoulds come in, and yet we're
mm-hmm.
not aware that that's happening.
Yep.
And
yep.
so we grow up, I was just picturing these weights, you know, on our shoulders that we are trying to grow up against and, you know, be the right person and all that. And then there's should on one side and then should on the other.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was just hearing something, I can't remember where it was recently, but just even sort of brain research they've done, where realizing that kid, you know, a certain part of a kid's brain is not fully formed. And so they really are taking information in that almost sort of magical thinking way. And so whatever we're fed as little people, that just becomes how it is. Not just someone's opinion or that sort of thing. And so then until we bring awareness to it as adults, it's just absolutely completely unquestioned. And talk about control, it's in control of our life experience.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then we come to awareness practice, and then the battle begins between the should
truly
and freedom. And we need a lot of support for that, and it's great that we have it here.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep.
And here is our next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Carol in Philadelphia. And Jen.
Hey, Carol.
Lovely, lovely to be talking to you. We haven't shared life together for many years, so it's a particular pleasure.
I agree, Carol. It's been many, many years. And actually, what a fun day. I don't know if you're making your way to the retreat today in Pennsylvania, but I suspect that's the last time we saw one another was many years ago on retreat in Pennsylvania.
Exactly so. No, unfortunately, I'm not making my way to the retreat. I wish it were otherwise.
Well, you're here with us, so there we go.
I am. So here we go. What is interesting, I just responded to these immediately. I just wrote down what came to mind right away.
Perfect.
So one should Great. Be on time. I should
uh-huh.
not worry.
Uh-huh.
People should be kind. You should be kind. Mm. We should listen to one another. They should be kind. And then... Mm. I don't know if this one's in today or next week. Who said so? I said, they just popped into my mind. Now,
uh-huh.
I would say that the first two are unaware. I mean, they're there.
Uh-huh.
They're ingrained.
Uh-huh.
The people should and you should and we should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly people should and you should is highly mm-hmm. influenced by the practice. That awareness is very much part of me now, and I'm not sure whether it was my just briefly.
Carol.
My sister, who is no longer living, her birthday was yesterday. She was the middle sister. I was the oldest
mm-hmm.
sister, and then our little sister. Are you there? I pushed the wrong button. Are you there?
I can still hear you. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I said she was the kindest person I ever knew. And I was frequently unkind to her. I was the older, bossy sister. And I think of that. So I recognize particularly am grateful for the reemergence of Mr. Rogers in all of our lives. Kindness
mm-hmm.
is so significant to him. So I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure that kind would have been, I think that's new. But anyway,
uh-huh.
one
yep.
on time. That one really, and I was always late. So, and
uh-huh.
I'm never late. So
uh-huh.
there you go.
And do you feel like that shift in your relationship with time is a product of bringing awareness to it?
Be on time? No.
A product of
human beings being annoyed with my being late.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's interesting, isn't it, Carol? Because I wonder if that. So fellow humans being annoyed with you being late. So over and over, you would get the feedback of, gosh, you're late again, you're late again, something like that,
yep.
would you say?
Yeah. Yep.
And so I'm guessing that, I mean, we could say that in itself, if we take it in and choose to act on it, which it sounds like you did because your behavior changed, there's a way in which that's a process of awareness, right? I mean, whether the awareness is coming, quote, from me, I mean, we could say, is awareness really a personal process or is it just a life process? And in this case, you had a lot of help from life representatives around you to point out, you know, here's a process that's happening.
Yeah,
and you brought awareness to that. You brought the willingness to change it, and there we go.
That's right. And I had to think about why I was late. And my response used to be, when you tell me to be somewhere at 3 o'clock, that's the time that's in my head. That's the time I leave the house. So that's crazy.
Right. Yeah. And again, Carol, I'm projecting that in order to shift that, you had to see that that's what was going on. And then there's a retraining that happens. Okay, the appointment's at 3. It's going to take me 10 minutes to get there. I need to be getting in my car at 3:15.
Right. Of course.
And just one other quick thing, Carol, before we let you go. I'm curious, when you were talking about how kind your middle sister was and that you weren't always kind to her. We can guess, you know, because the voices weren't being kind to you. When you look at that, are you kind with yourself as you look back at that?
Beautiful, lovely, beautiful question.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me want to pause and just pause. Because the fact that she is no longer living makes that an extraordinarily beautiful question. I guess even if she were alive, I couldn't go back and talk.
Yeah. Yep. You still with us, Carol?
I shake in my hand. The phone responds to the shaking. I think were she alive, I couldn't change it. I could simply say, I see it now, and I wish it hadn't been. I wish it were otherwise. I wish I had seen it as clearly then as I see it now. There. That's what I can say now.
And if I may wildly project, Carol, from my experience, someone who is as kind as you're describing your sister was is someone who is living in a kind world themselves. And I know when I'm living in a kind world like that and someone in my life like you're describing comes to me and says, gosh, I just, you know, I'm realizing these things about myself and the things I may have said in the past. And what comes up for me is, what I want for you more than anything else is to be kind with yourself about that process. So I'll bet you anything that would be her response to you. No.
Thank you. I'll bet it would.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Be well.
Be a great recording to make. You too. Take good care.
Thank you, dear. And you as well.
Okay.
Gosho.
All right. Bye, Carol. Gosho.
Bye, dog. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Jen, that's such an excellent point that you and Carol were making there, that we really have to drop the self-hate and move beyond that if we want there to be any change or any difference in our lives.
I mean, it's cruel to expect ourselves to change in any way we want to change through a process of hatred. It doesn't work. It's not kind. You know, even if we can sort of gut through it for some length of time, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Someone who's being hated is not going to be kind. It's just not how it works.
Exactly. And we have another caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jane. It's Pravina from South Africa.
Hey, Pravina. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, so this exercise was pretty interesting because just answering it from one should do or be or exist as X, Y, and Z, I noticed that even though what I was writing down seemed general because one should, a lot of it is personal and comes from conditioning and being taught how one should behave in the world when one, you know, mm-hmm. when you're young, you get taught this. And so it was very mm-hmm. interesting and eye-opening to actually just look at it from that perspective. And the great thing about uh-huh. practice is you get to step outside of it and look and yeah. see what's going on, as opposed to just this is the way things are and this is the way things should be. So yeah. looking at it from outside of conditioning, it's great to see how that process works and where that conditioning comes from. So that was yeah, my experience
exactly.
with this.
Yeah, so that it's so fun, isn't it? Because it's there are those places, as we've been talking about this morning, they've become assumptions. They've become places really that we're unconscious to in many cases. We don't even really realize they're there. And then we do an exercise like this, and it occurs to us to turn and look at them. And when we do that, as you say, that's what facilitates us being able to take that step back and actually look and see, gosh, do I even believe that? Is that even my experience? And then we look around at people around us, and, you know, so we were raised in, you know, you should do this, and you should do this, and you shouldn't do this. And then someone else was raised in a completely different way, which really highlights, is this the God's truth, or...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as you saw that, where did that leave you?
So I realized where some of the beatings come from, because, you know, some of the beatings tend to happen almost on a subconscious, unconscious level where you're not fully aware that it's going on. And yep. with awareness practice, I mean, it's really shone a light on that. So I can see that, hold on, if I'm not doing this thing that I was taught I should do, then the voices go in and try to beat me up for it. So, yeah, it's very enlightening to see, and it means that I can step back from that process and just be with the experience of life instead of with the yes. voices in the head.
Truly, that's another interesting point. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, realizing that, okay, so here are these assumptions, these unconscious things that were planted in you when you were very small, and then let's say you do something that one shouldn't do, or you don't do something that there's a belief that one should do, and then realizing, oh, wow, that's the genesis of a lot of the beatings. That's where the voices are able to come in. But if I start to bring awareness to that and realize, you know, even before the beating, go back to the original assumption of one should X, Y, and Z, then that really gives you the opportunity to not have to go to that automatic unconscious beating.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you say, it frees you up to just be here.
Yeah. And that's the best part of that. That's the deepest thing I'm finding since I started awareness practice. So I'm so grateful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is the big piece, isn't it? It's very interesting and helpful to be able to look at all of what's in there unconsciously and, you know, where the beatings come from and all that. But that's such a great point, that what the real thing we're going for is that all of that has the potential to free us up to just be here and just experience life as the glorious experience that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Was there more?
No, that's it.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pravina. Hey, Jen, I was seeing in that the very basic and powerful practice of awareness and having yeah. tools to be able to look and to uncover those assumptions that came in so early and to see what they are pushing me to now and to get clear about, okay, now in this moment, what's true for me now, given that I yeah. see that I can see clearly that assumption and the should, so what do I want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, and I love, you know, what she said there at the end. It's so obvious. I mean, we say it all the time, but it's really an important reminder of, oh, right, you know, the reason we're looking at any of this, seeing it, you know, being aware of it, is simply so that we can be here. You know, we're not figuring anything out. We're not needing to, we're not, you know, we're not even really overcoming anything, right? The mm-hmm. the reason any of that is helpful is simply that it uncovers what's so, you know, it's sort of like the process that we did with Carol of, gosh, when you realize that, you know, in this case, when I think of my sister and how kind she was, and then I realize how unkind, you know, I was sometimes with her, and we could go to a place of beating with that, and it's helpful to realize it because then I don't have to go there. And then what happens is I just drop into kindness, which is what I was looking at to begin with. So it's, I guess,
yeah,
it's Rumi's quote, right? We don't have to seek after love. We're simply finding all the barriers there are to it.
Mm.
And then when we do,
yes,
when we see through those, what we're left with is love.
Wow. Wow. So simple.
So simple. Yeah.
Simple. Yeah, it's amazing. And we have another caller here, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
I didn't think I'd get on. This is Brad and Marilyn. How are you both?
Hey. Good.
Hey, Brad.
So it's funny in terms of shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping the should for me would be that I should be able to go on retreat this coming weekend, but I found out due to a situation with my wife needing to take a business trip at the same time that the retreat is,
mm-hmm,
I have opted not to go for like the first time in 4 years. So
wow. Mm-hmm.
I'm watching that whole thing on either side of it being a no-win situation with duality.
Yep, yep.
And
exactly.
just watching how that's causing me to be in the head, obviously. So
to be in the head. Is that what
you're
yeah.
saying? Yes. To be thinking too
yep.
much.
Yep, yep. Boy.
I'm doing it because my daughter is like 1.5 years old and my son's 5, and to have both parents mm-hmm. away at the same time could be a little hard for him. And
that could be the 5-year-old's not really ready for grocery shopping and cooking quite yet, huh? Yeah.
No, but I mean, mm-hmm. in a way, it's like it's a kindness to my wife because it's making her really distraught that I wouldn't be there as well. You know, there's other retreats I can go to, and so it just goes back and forth with it, and I'm just watching it, what it's doing in terms of trying to tear me apart, I suppose.
Well, and Brad, I'm sure you've heard other folks, you know, what you're describing basically is you're having the workshop at / retreat that you're having. And, right? Right. I mean, truly, every day. And people talk about that. I mean, we hear people who are, you know, they're going on retreat. They're all ready to go, and then they get the flu. Or, you know, something happens last minute. Or, you know, they really wanted to go, and they got talked out of it. Or whatever it is, you know, all those different versions. And so that's exactly right. There's a way in which we're always on retreat. And if we're paying attention, then we get the benefits of it. So what's happening for you is you're getting to watch this process of duality that pulls you up into your head and creates suffering. And if you were at the retreat, what you would be looking at is basically exactly the same thing, some version of it, because how you do anything is how you do everything. And so if you were lucky on the retreat, all of those processes that caused Brad to suffer would show up, and that's what you'd be working with. So that's what you're doing now, right where you are.
Yeah, the awareness is there. So it's
mm-hmm.
like I notice – again, you know, ego's so sneaky in terms of a way of saying, oh, you see it, but you can still suffer if you like. It's like, well, I don't like to. I don't necessarily want to. I'm familiar with it, and I need to have
yeah.
the willingness and use the practice not to go there and indulge it.
Uh-huh. And, Brad, is there a sense with this that the guy who would have – I mean, I'm hearing there's some disappointment with it. Would that be
oh, sure.
accurate?
Sure.
Yeah,
because it's always so helpful to go.
Exactly. Yep, and to be with Sangha and all those lovely things about being on retreat.
Yeah.
Is the guy who would have really liked to be there, has he had a chance to get on the recorder and talk about that?
No, but you know what? I tell you, a walk at lunch would help to do that. So.
Yeah. You know, to let him have his experience, and also, you know, maybe some recordings around... You know, you're not, it's not as if you wanted to go to the retreat and ego just talked you out of it and, you know, I don't feel like it or whatever. I mean, you chose to do it for, I mean, we could say out of love.
Yeah.
Right? And so
yeah,
maybe
isn't that
some
the cruelest thing? It's like you did, you know, you're
yeah.
doing something selflessly and mm-hmm. ego's still going to let you have
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I think, I really think, Brad, that that's one of the places that recording is so important. You know, it really shines in practice for us, because I think what you said in the beginning is so key. You know, I realize I'm really up in my head. And the reason we get pulled up into our head is because that's where suffering happens. And the reason it's so powerful to two things, to let that guy who really wanted to go on retreat get on the recorder and talk about that. And then as you get present to him and listen to him, I project you're going to really see him in a way that, yeah, I would have liked to go on retreat and I can't, so that's okay, you know. But that head process is completely different. And same thing with getting on the recorder and really acknowledging the guy who would have liked to go on retreat and is doing this thing for his wife and his two kids and, you know, kind of looking at what's best for all. And he's making that, we could say, grown-up decision. And so to be really honoring that guy, again, to do it on the recorder and really experience it, really different than being in the head and knowing it.
Yeah, yeah. A great exercise in terms of disidentifying.
Exactly.
Having the experience of doing that. So, yeah.
Exactly. And really perfect for the exercise today, I would say, because that one should. Well, one should be this way, and one should do that, and one—that's all an idea in the head. But then to bring it to our daily experience of what's actually so. You know, one should go on retreat when retreat is close by to one's home. Okay, one—it's a great opportunity to go on retreat when retreat is close to one's home. In this case, that's not what's going on. So to take that should out of it, you know, what the should does nothing but create suffering.
Yes. And one shouldn't go on retreat if it's in California, and maybe I'll have to prove that wrong.
Yes, there you go.
There you go. All right.
Perfect. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Take that, ego.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Brad.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. Jen, we are at 3 minutes to the end of the show. Do you want to squeeze another call in, or should we go to today's assignment?
Let's see. I'm game. Let's see if we can
do it. Okay. One more caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Okay, Jen, you want me to try one other one?
Or it looks like we're at 2 minutes now, Michael. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
Seems like the 3 minutes, somehow that's the magic number that feels doable.
Yes. So today's assignment is I should record and listen. I should.
With one should and then moving on to I should.
I should.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me that's an endless list.
It truly is. Yeah, and actually I was thinking about that too, Michael, that, you know, sometimes we'll do an exercise on retreat where we'll be asked the same question like that. I should.
Yes.
I should. So that could be another fun way to approach it, to just keep, you know, doing it and just seeing all the different things that come out.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you,
all
Jen.
All right.
Great to talk
with you, Michael.
And Sangha today. It's wonderful.
It was. Yep. Go happy.
Okay. Go happy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.